Rocktape, more than just a tape company. Rocktape keeps athletes of all levels moving stronger, longer.
With the world's best kinesiology tape,
topical pain relief,
mobility equipment,
and protective gear.
And now physical therapists can get 20% off their first purchase right now at shop.rocktape.com.
Just use the code PTPINECAST at checkout to get 20% off.
That's shop.rocktape.com.
With the code PTPINECAST for killer savings of 20% off.
Rocktape, the world's best kinesiology tape.
This is the PT Pinecast, a podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer, bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pinecast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
The next episode of the PT Pinecast starts right now. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. Our next guest holds a doctorate in physical therapy from the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, Tar Heel country. She's a 2-decade-long veteran advocating for the use of yoga in healthcare. She's also the founder of the Professional Yoga Therapy Institute, an orthopedic physical therapist specializing in persistent pain and women's health, and the author of a recently published book and film project, Medical Therapeutic Yoga. Welcome to the PT Pinecast, Ginger Garner. Ginger, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thanks for having me today.
Appreciate you taking the time out. Now, first question is always the hardest. What are we drinking today?
Yeah, that's a great question. And to answer that, a little backstory. Well, the front story would be kombucha. And the backstory is we brew it ourselves. So
get out of here.
Yeah.
Now, all right. So I've had it before. I had a roommate first year of PT school who used to have this weird stuff in the refrigerator. And when I eventually asked him what it was, he said kombucha. Am I saying that right? Kombucha?
Yeah.
Okay, what is it?
It's a fermented drink. It's a bit of a superfood, and it's also stuffed full of probiotics. And you've heard of the whole gut microbiome frenzy.
Right.
That has been whipped up in the last, 10 years of the gut being perhaps more important than the brain in some senses. So you start off by taking different types of tea, green tea, white tea, and then you end up fermenting that. You can add different flavors to it. So there are as many varieties as you can imagine between lavender and the one I'm drinking today, mango or straight up ginger or whatever you're looking for. And then you ferment it secondarily. And then you have, in just a few short weeks, you have a superfood that you can drink.
Cool.
Yeah.
So wait, when you say fermented, I hear alcohol, but it's not alcoholic, right?
Correct. But there is a tiny smidge remaining, 0.5%. It's less than 1%.
Oh, okay. I got it. All right, we're clear. I'm going something from Italy. We're doing a Peroni. So cheers to you with your kombucha. So we got you on the show because you're big into, as we alluded to in your introduction, yoga. How did you start using yoga as a physical therapist? I know it came first for you before PT because you've been doing it since like the early 90s. But how did you incorporate yoga into your PT practice?
The short story is I had started practicing yoga as a high school and then college freshman, with early 90s. Practiced it through getting my license in athletic training, which I still have in practice today, and then straight on through physical therapy school, and then after. But for me, the manifestation of using it with other people started with athletes in Division I sports. When I was working on my licensure for athletic training, one of the first ones would be application in soccer, of getting an athlete who had bilateral ACLs and a revision done. And you think back now, I mean, that was 20 plus years ago. So that was a teenager, right? Already having both ACLs done and one of them done again. She was also the VIP on the team. So I needed to be able to get her back to fighting shape again. And we were able to do that. And I think yoga was instrumental in that for its systemic effects, not just the straight up orthopedic things that typical PTs or typical yoga practitioners would think, oh, PTs are just worried about ortho. It really isn't, because there's a big deal. I mean, if you've played sports at all in your life, you know that sports psychology is an enormous part of our performance for that reason also.
That's cool.
And then as I progressed on through PT school, I fell into treating and seeing, helping people manage their persistent pain. And that's where it took on a breathing life of its own, no pun intended, to be able to be far more effective and efficient than just using what I learned in sports medicine and PT school alone.
I had an alum of my university, Marymount University, Megan Bellamy Brown. Now, she has a practice that's Pilates based, and you practice yoga. And sometimes I think, myself included, we use the terms back and forth. And I like to look for the similarities and the differences. So what are the similarities or what are the differences between Pilates and yoga from your perspective?
That's a great question. I once did a podcast ages ago, I don't know where it is, floating in the ether somewhere, about comparing the two. And although I have background in both, I was speaking for the yoga side at the time. The way I described it, as I did my Pilates training in New York and at the Atlanta Ballet, so I had several years of Pilates training under my belt as I, you know, continued my yoga studies over the decades. And the way I like to compare it after having done both is that if Pilates is a planet, yoga is a universe.
Okay.
You know, in the proverbial solar system, because there's so much to learn about Pilates alone that it would be like studying Earth. But if you back up and you drop Pilates into the well of yoga philosophy, yoga is a universe you could spend lifetime studying.
You know, I've taken a yoga class and a Pilates class, but you can see right off the bat where this can be applied to physical therapy. First of all, you have to be moving. Second of all, it's not easy. It's definitely not easy at all. And man, it's a workout. So how do you introduce it to a patient who's coming to you for physical therapy who may not already have a background in it at all?
That's a great question, because I believe that sometimes you aren't even mentioning that you're doing yoga.
Mm.
And one of the strongest or most poignant contexts of that is where I'm located. I live in North Carolina on the Outer Banks.
Wow.
Not that I've had a problem practicing it here, meaning where I've had that kind of pushback that people are concerned that it's a religion in itself or something like that. I really haven't had that kind of pushback, although I did receive some. But there are other people in areas, for example, Alabama or Mississippi, where that can be a real cultural sensitive spot. In that case, as always, no matter where I am, I believe that we should bring our skill set as PTs to meet the patient and the individual, the person, where they are. So sometimes that means not actually mentioning that you're introducing threads of yoga, weaving them into physical therapy practice. Mm-hmm. And that's allowed me to be successful with outcomes and patient satisfaction on multiple levels. So that's the first way that I approach it.
Yeah, you come at it from the PT perspective and you kind of backdoor in the fact that they're actually doing yoga before they realize that they're doing yoga.
Right. And I think one thing that you said is an important point is that we are, as PTs, you know, as an ATC, as a PT, I am bringing yoga into healthcare. I'm not bringing healthcare into yoga, if that makes sense.
Okay. All right. Say that one more time, just so I'm clear.
I, as a healthcare provider, you know, where we promise to first do no harm, where we err on the side of caution, where we have that liability and that legal connection to our patients and ethical connection to our patients. It's important that we realize that for yoga and healthcare practice, we're bringing yoga into healthcare and synthesizing it into our practice rather than bringing healthcare into yoga, which looks different.
Now, you established the first doctoral level medical yoga curricula, which is now adopted by medical schools throughout the US and Canada. That sounds really serious. I like it. So explain what that means. I was doing some background research and that sounds cool to me. So what does it mean?
That started about 5 or 6 years ago at the University of Mississippi, which is at the bottom of the barrel as far as health and wellness goes.
Sure, yep.
And physical activity, probably access to care. And even the cultural viewpoint of yoga, I would think, would be a bit stigmatized in that area of the country. However, that was the first university that adopted part of the curriculum to be used in their doctoral programs. And of course, now we have many universities that are doing that or bringing the full curriculum into their programs.
Now, how do you frame it, Ginger? How do you frame it when you're telling someone or you're explaining to someone why they might need yoga? How do you begin that conversation?
That's an excellent question, Jimmy. The first thing that I'll talk to a patient about when they come and sit down in the office, we don't directly go back and say, all right, let me look at your shoulder, let me look at your back, you know, whatever it is that they're coming in with. I'll sit down and talk to them about their responses on the intake forms that I have, which are biopsychosocial in nature. I ask them questions about, it could range and does range from, you know, musical preferences, to spiritual preferences and belief systems, because one of the biggest issues that we come up against in physical therapy is patient adherence, mm-hmm. getting them to follow through
sure.
with what we're asking them to do. So I want to know what motivates them. I get to know them. I want to know what they like, what they dislike. And that also tells me how I can incorporate yoga into their program in a way that is congruent with those likes and dislikes so that it's motivating. It lifts them to a higher place and makes them feel successful. And the entry point, typically after I talk about their goals, their likes, their dislikes, what motivates them, are they a morning person? Are they a night owl? What, you know, what are their sleep habits? Is to talk about nutrition and the systemic effects of nutrition on just their orthopedic condition, for example. And once I broach the topic of a systems-based approach, which is talking about the overlap between gastrointestinal, orthopedic, and neuroendocrine health, for example, they begin to really understand that in a broader perspective, yes, they've come to me for physical therapy, but unless we address some of those larger systemic issues, what I do for them, let's just say if it's orthopedically, for example, won't be very effective unless we address the whole system, the whole person. And that means, you know, gastrointestinal to neuroendocrine, you know, including the nutrition piece as well. So it's really a holistic approach to being able to see them. Once they understand that, there's usually a full, I guess you'd call it a full buy-in of, okay, let's get the whole program going. And we talk about nutrition, we talk about sleep habits. And then we finally get to often the reason they came in. And they see that these other smaller pieces, or what they perceived as smaller pieces, are actually sometimes the most important drivers of their shoulder or their back outcome, for example.
Yeah, it sounds like you're treating the whole patient where the patient is.
Yes, that's essentially the in a nutshell kind of take-home message, because the biopsychosocial model of yoga, which is, of course, several thousand years old, basically what I do as a healthcare provider and have for the last 20 years is take that ancient, it's called a Panchamaya Kosha model.
Okay.
In Sanskrit.
All right. We're going Sanskrit on this one.
A five-limbed, all-pervading model, which means the limbs, you know, every aspect and dimension of ourself is interrelated. That's basically, you know, what it means. I take that model and combine it and evolve it in an evidence-based way to be congruent with what the World Health Organization recommends with their biopsychosocial model.
I didn't think we'd go deep into Sanskrit today, but I'm liking the fact that we did. I like it.
It's the kombucha, Jimmy.
I gotta get me some kombucha. One thing we wanted to talk about, yoga in healthcare advocacy. Where does yoga play a part in healthcare advocacy?
I wrote a few posts, which you can find on my blog, gingergarner.com, about the role that physical therapists should give serious consideration to. And that is the role of being a healthcare advocate. When I am teaching healthcare providers, which is on a regular basis, hundreds throughout each year, I often encourage them to think of themselves as patient advocate more than physical therapist. And the reason is, if we do that, and I guess there's no better example than today, which the AHCA, the American Healthcare Act, right, is up for vote today.
That's all you see on Facebook nowadays.
Exactly. So between the ACA and the AHCA, there's a lot of uncertainty.
Right.
No matter what side of the political fence that you may be on in the United States, it's undeniable that it will greatly impact our ability and our access to physical therapy. And we should consider ourselves, if we consider ourselves as patient advocates, it gives us a sense of urgency to get involved in the policy process to help maximize access to care. One of the ways that I have been doing that is through a movement called Yoga in Healthcare that I'm involved in both in the United Kingdom and here in the United States, extending, you know, into Canada.
What does that entail? What does that mean? What is your mission statement there?
The mission is to be able to represent yoga and healthcare by and for the licensed, chartered, and I think registered in Canada is what they're called. So whether you're licensed, chartered, or registered as a physical therapist, or in other professions such as medicine, nursing, occupational therapy, etc., is to be able to represent the interests of the licensed provider in the healthcare realm and also in the wellness realm. As we know, yoga is an enormous, it's very trendy right now and has been, you know, for the past 15 years. That's greatly increasing. And along with that, the number of yoga injuries are on the rise. And that's also undeniable. But the point is, even one extra injury based on yoga being integrated into any kind of healthcare or wellness care is one too many. And that's part of the mission, is to create a safety net, if you will, of consumer safety, so that when yoga is applied, people know what they're getting, that they can go to a healthcare provider, whether it is a speech pathologist or a physical therapist, and know that what they're getting is safe and it's going to be effective, you know, clinically effective and according to the evidence base.
You bring up the fact that it's trendy. I mean, some places where yoga might face some pushback just because of cultural or geographic locations. I'm in the Washington, D.C. metro area. You can't walk 30 or 40 feet without walking into someone in yoga pants or carrying a yoga mat. so I think in the larger metro areas, it's definitely already accepted. It's part of the culture. You know, I like the fact that it's being adopted into your model and into international models as well, with your work in the UK and up in Canada.
If yoga receives pushback in the general population, I think that is a good thing, because we need to make sure that we can secure the future of yoga by making it safe. Yoga is so complex. If indeed what I said is true, that yoga is a universe, then we should well scrutinize the application of yoga,
sure,
in all realms, not just in healthcare. But as a healthcare provider, we know we have a higher responsibility and a higher calling. So you bringing yoga into healthcare then is a critically, it looks very different. It's a critically different field than it would be, let's say, if a layperson or someone who without a license, healthcare license, is going to use yoga. And that does exist, because there are yoga teachers, right?
Sure.
And there's a new field emerging in the 21st century called yoga therapy. But that would look very different, because they are operating under vastly different conditions than, say, the physical therapist who's applying yoga.
Right. And that sounds really confusing if you were a consumer, because there's all these words being thrown around. They sound very similar. And unfortunately, you know, we're trying to beat the same drum, or, you know, carry the same message into letting people know what the similarities are and what the differences are. And sometimes our consumer or the general population, they get confused.
Exactly. It's not dissimilar to not too long ago, when personal trainers began to, for a microsecond in time, use PT.
Sure, yep.
Yeah, behind their name. The same thing is happening with yoga now. And in fact, within the industry, I've even heard, which I disagree with, a prominent voice in the yoga industry say that yoga therapists are in direct competition to physical therapists. And there's really no comparison. The two are as different as night and day.
How would you frame that if you were going to try to explain the difference between a physical therapist utilizing yoga and a yoga therapist? How would you clarify the difference?
Yoga therapy, as a field that is unlicensed, is an emerging one. So there's no state title licensure. They don't go through a board certification process or an independent testing or screening at all. So it would be akin to a certification like personal training. Now, we know yoga is more than just the physical. Just as a quick comparison, that would be, from a legal standpoint, what the easiest comparison would be. Particularly the way Americans tend to use yoga is just for the physical, even though we know it's far more than that. So that would be the first difference, is that we all know that the doctorate is the new minimum, educational minimum, for the physical therapist. There is no minimum for a yoga therapist. And in fact, many of them don't have a bachelor's degree or an associate's degree even. They're not required to be degreed at all. So it is a trade training, if you will.
It seems like, you know, that verbiage is just a little bit confusing.
I can
see where that'd be confusing.
Yeah, because for the consumer, it's just the difference between yoga and then physical. And they may look identical, but they're very different. While there's a place for yoga therapy, it cannot be compared to physical therapy, of course.
Okay. All right. I like that. I hadn't heard of that, so it's good to know that that's out there in case that comes up, because I'm sure that's going to come up with PTs out there that are practicing across the country, across the world, and listening to this right now. Right now, I want to throw some love at our friends at Arias Medical Staffing. And when Arias actually approached us about 6 months ago about sponsoring the show, we did as we always do. We did a background on research. And the way we did that was we asked PTs who actually found placements to be travel or permanent PTs through Arias. And overwhelmingly, we heard that PTs were happy. So we said, do we want to work with a company whose sole purpose is finding physical therapists jobs where they want to work? And our answer was, well, sure. Who doesn't want to do that, right? Who doesn't want to find people some jobs? So if you're looking to pick up a travel assignment, maybe if you're a student who's going to graduate soon because graduation is quickly approaching, you're a fresh PT or an experienced clinician and you're looking to move somewhere else, or you're looking for a permanent placement, Arias Medical can do that. Check them out online, AureusMedical.com. You can give them a call, 1-800-340-2619. You can even bring a buddy, Ginger. You can even bring a buddy. We've had several physical therapists travel, and they kind of pair up to go to somewhere new. So you can have a travel buddy.
It's excellent.
I like that. So you have a project that's is going on. We've talked to people who've done this before. I can't imagine what it would be like. I've read books, but I've never written a book. I think it's safe to say I'm never going to write a book. Your new book and multimedia project, Medical Therapeutic Yoga, available now on Amazon and other locations. Talk to me about that.
Well, it's been a labor of love, as lots of authors would say the exact same thing. It's kind of a rite of passage, I guess, you know, indoctrination into the club.
Sure.
Because I already have three kids and I felt like this was the fourth one and it took the longest to grow.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's a 4-year project. It's a culmination of more than 15 years of work because everything in the book has been field tested, taught in continuing education courses, and shared with patients and clinicians all across the United States and Canada, and of course now into the UK and Ireland and other places coming up pretty soon. The book's premise is essentially not too far off of what the mission is for yoga and healthcare in general. You'll notice the subtitle of the book is Biopsychosocial Rehabilitation and Wellness Care. And honestly, we rolled that, the publisher and myself, we rolled those terms over in our heads for a while because it was very important to me that we get across the strong message that in order to integrate yoga into healthcare, not just to toss a few aspects of yoga here and there, and not just to take healthcare and toss it into yoga, but in order to truly integrate yoga into healthcare, we needed a critical analysis of the evidence base that exists and some integration in order to evolve what was happening in yoga in order for it to be applicable and effective, and of course, certainly evidence-based in our clinical practices. And what emerged was medical therapeutic yoga and its subheading, biopsychosocial rehabilitation and wellness care.
Who's going to read this book? Who is the target audience? Is it practitioners of yoga? Is it professional physical therapists who are looking to apply it?
It's a great question. And the initial audience, the first and widest audience would be the yoga enthusiast, which could be anyone. Now, granted, it's considered a medical textbook. So to pick it up, you might be prepared for a bit of a long read. Or if you suffer from insomnia, you can also cure it by reading chapter 3. I would highly recommend chapter 3 for those of you out there with insomnia right now, because it's pretty heavy with citations. And the reason is I wanted to create a system that would help clinicians and practitioners streamline what they're doing. So there's a heavy amount of differential diagnosis in it of what to look for in postures, which are called asana, of what to look for in breathing. There's a giant section on breaking down the systemic effects of yoga, the neurophysiology of yoga, if you will, and how it affects each system in the body. For example, there's a section on the diaphragm, the respiratory diaphragm, how it interacts with systemic health and dictates systemic health. It provides, in a nutshell, a way of streamlining clinical decision making for anyone who wants to use yoga in a clinical way or in a wellness-based way.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. We jest a little bit about the citations, but that's what our profession demands. That's what clinicians look for, is this up to date with our best research, you know, our evidence-based practice? I would look forward to a book that is heavy on citations. I'm probably not going to read every single one, but I'll read the book. But my point is, that's where our field is going. So good on you for writing a book that is directed at, you know, yoga practitioners, but is heavy on science, which is what I think the general population should have more in their life.
We should. I think there's also, the other reason I wrote it is there is an enormous issue, which has been acknowledged by multiple governmental organizations, as well as the World Health Organization, and that's the problem of health literacy. People need to know more about their bodies. They need to know more about how to better take care of themselves. And we need to move this idea of passive medicine, having something done to us when we go in, or us as practitioners doing something to the patient, instead of being encased in that model, is to work towards the patient as an active, fully engaged member of the healthcare team, that they are dictating what's happening. They make the choice.
From your mouth to every single patient's ears, hopefully. Hopefully they understand that. I mean, I know we say this a lot. What you had just said was perfect. They need to take an active role in their care. I say it a lot. I don't have magic hands. I'm not going to be able to push in a certain spot and cure anything unless you're helping me do that very thing. So I think that's a fantastic way to look at it. You can follow Ginger online at Pro Yoga Therapy. That's on Twitter, and the website again, gingergarner.com. Going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to talk about what women need in healthcare and how we can look at more of an international model. All right, both those on the other side of the break with the PT Pinecast.
Working out his orbicularis oris until failure. Jimmy McKay on the PT Pinecast.
Spring is in the air. It's the season for growth and new experiences in your physical therapy career. Explore the country with healthcare staffing agency Aureus Medical Group. You'll find rewarding travel and full-time career opportunities nationwide. Know a PT? Make a referral and earn up to $1,000. To speak with a recruiter, call 1-800-340-2619 or visit aureusmedical.com. That's A-U-R-E-U-S medical.com. Effective clinical practice is grounded in effective research.
And that is what the Foundation for Physical Therapy does.
For over 35 years now, the Foundation for Physical Therapy has made it its mission to fund and publicize physical therapy research. Their researchers have helped introduce movement in babies with cerebral palsy,
integrate dancing to alleviate ailments in patients with Parkinson's,
and develop video games to implement physical rehabilitation. The work of their recipients would not be possible without the support of donors like you.
Your support can help us continue to elevate the physical therapy profession
and work towards creating a world
that thrives on mobility.
You have the power to make a difference.
Join the power of one
and contribute today at foundationforpt.org.
That's foundation, the number 4, pt.org.
Donate today and experience the power of one for the Foundation for Physical Therapy.
Online at foundation, the number 4, pt.org.
Let's give a nice, warm welcome to...
We're back. It's so great to see you. Let's get back to the show now. We are back on the PT Pinecast with Ginger Garner. Again, want to make sure you can get in touch with her, gingergarner.com, or on Twitter at Pro Yoga Therapy. Ginger, we always ask these three questions of our guests. Three questions powered by our sponsors, Aureus Medical Group. Are you ready? You're on the hot seat right now.
Okay, I feel it. Sure.
All right. Question number one. Where somewhere in the U.S. you've always wanted to be a PT? Where somewhere you wouldn't mind going? I mean, you're in a good spot right now in the Outer Banks, but if you had to go somewhere else, where would you go?
Oh, I know the answer to that immediately. It's New York City, because...
All right.
I once had an interview in 2004 at Carnegie Hall to treat musicians, and as a musician, that would be my dream job, I think.
How do you get to Carnegie Hall, Ginger?
How?
Yes,
exactly.
That's
practice,
the one.
And all is coming.
Second question, what's something you've read recently that really inspired you? You wrote a book, so you can't use that one, but what's something else that you've read recently that really, really inspired you?
Oh my gosh. The poetry of David White is incredibly inspiring to me.
I
have about a dozen books going at one time, at any given time, but what I was just reading yesterday was the poetry of David White. You should check him out. He's a I think he's a Welsh poet.
Well, you're the first person to bring up poetry, so that just shows how much more cultured you are versus me. I like that. Third question, who is someone in the field of physical therapy that the audience should know more about?
I could probably list several. Do they have to be American?
No, they don't. Let's go international.
I don't think that Diane Lee flies under the radar necessarily, but her work and advocacy for moms, her work in diastasis rectus abdominis is incredible. So she's a Canadian physio. I would highly recommend checking out Diane Lee's work.
All right, you're off the hot seat for three questions. Now, we mentioned your book project just before the break, Medical Therapeutic Yoga, Biopsychosocial Rehabilitation and Wellness Care. We checked, available on Amazon right now. But it's not just a book project. You also had a different multimedia element to it. Talk a little bit about that.
Sure. About halfway through the evolution of the book, I began to consider how I would address other learning types. What arose from that was the idea to include codes in the book that are scannable. That means when you pick up a copy of the book, scattered throughout the entire book, there are codes. You scan those QR codes with your smartphone, and it will take you to videos that elaborate on what I'm writing about. Because for many people,
that is cool.
Yeah, they don't learn by reading. They learn by watching and hearing and then practicing.
So you just scan the page, and boom, it takes you to whatever you're talking about, a video of it?
Yes, it does.
That is cool. It's like, remember those books back in the day, that Choose Your Own Adventure?
I love those books.
I used to did you cheat, though? I used to cheat. I would go to whatever page, but if it didn't turn out well, I'd go back and change my answer. All right, but well, that's cool that you can actually just follow along and you get that content exactly when you want it without having to put the book down necessarily. You can just pick up your phone.
The other reason really for doing that was not just to address different learners, particularly if a PT picks up this book, they usually want context. They want concrete practice. They're hands-on, right? That's what we do. That's how we think.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons. The other reason is I wanted to be able to help the patient go from the whole passive, having something done to them, to the active role. And this is a great way for patients to be able to, and individuals who just want to practice yoga safely and effectively, to be able to watch single pieces at a time. So there's child's pose, there's triangle pose, there's mountain, there's chair, all broken down from a biomechanical standpoint, a safety standpoint, to make it more effective. That led me to create another three or four dozen videos to go with that, that is available via subscription. So if they like what they get with the book, and anyone can sign up for it, if you go to medicaltherapeuticyoga.com, then they get access to the first two chapters of the book for free, as well as 24 free videos.
That's cool. Yeah, so you get, it really is a multimedia project with all that different types of content.
Right, and then PTs or OTs, whomever is using it, can also use that as patient education to say, go watch the video on arm spiral. Go watch the video, you know, scapular stabilization, et cetera.
That's a really easy way to share that information. I like that a lot.
Thanks. I hope that people enjoy that, because one of the things I think we struggle with as PTs is spinning our wheels, spending a lot of time creating home programs. And I wanted to cut all of that kind of red tape issue out.
Good for you. That's awesome. Wanted to get into one more topic. What do women need in healthcare? That's something you're pretty passionate about. What can we deliver to the fairer gender?
Well, that's a topic I could talk about ad nauseum. If you look at statistics, I've looked at lots of systematic reviews and meta-analyses, and for countries across the globe, universally, I've looked at reviews from Ireland, as well as Turkey, India, the United States. The take-home message is that the majority of those women who go on to be moms will have serious postpartum issues.
Okay.
For example, in one Irish study done in 2014, they looked at 872 women. 1 year into the postpartum, 73% of them had urinary incontinence, 49% fecal incontinence, 14% pelvic organ prolapse, 58% had sexual dysfunction of some sort, and more than 50% had persistent pelvic floor disorder.
Wow.
So the statistics are not very good. And to speak of the United States in particular, one of our biggest risks that no one other than the American Academy of Pediatrics, I believe, is screening for postpartum depression, which is a huge issue, which is a comorbidity of some of the things that we will see every single day in physical therapy practice.
Sure, absolutely.
So as far as, you know, what women need, need. I think we need better care across the lifespan. And I will be traveling to World Congress on Physical Therapy in South Africa this summer.
I am so jealous. Johannesburg, that's just June,
it's
right?
It's in July.
I'm so jealous. You get to do summer in South Africa.
Well, I'll be going to a couple of different places in the near future to help with this whole yoga and healthcare advocacy piece, as well as advocating for moms across the lifespan, but particularly in the postpartum. I'll carry everyone's hellos over there.
Last topic we want to bring up before we let you go and get back to doing all the things you do with yoga. We talked about the healthcare system a little bit. It's pretty much the lead story on the news every night. It's all over your Twitter feed, your Facebook feed. It's all over. What's your view with international partnerships with the system? How can we transform healthcare culture that might help the system a little bit better?
It's probably the most important question to me of all of them that I'm ever asked is what can we do to influence healthcare policy? What can we do to change the system? And it's certainly why I founded the Professional Yoga Therapy Institute now 17 years ago, is to do nothing short of transform healthcare. And now, almost 20 years later, we are still talking about healthcare reform and very little has been done. In fact, our postpartum and maternal health statistics are disintegrating. They're actually getting worse. We have the highest maternal death rate and first day neonate mortality rate of any industrialized nation.
Yeah. Really? Wow. I'd never heard
it's
that.
It's very poor. I've been tracking it for a long time. It's why I'm feel so strongly about it. And in looking at different theories that would help us understand this and the information that has been collected over 3 to 4 decades, one of my mentors is Dr. Rhianne Eisler. She's a social scientist and, of course, a social justice advocate as an attorney. And she's discovered some very startling things that she has put a theme and noticed patterns that go with it. 2 years ago, I wrote a book chapter on transforming healthcare culture based on Rhianne Eisler's work. And if you go to gingergarner.com, under publications, you'll see a book title called Humanizing Healthcare. If you click on that book cover, it's a free download of that chapter. And it talks about empowering the patient. But it starts off with a very real story, which is the question of, have you ever been to a healthcare provider and felt marginalized, belittled, ignored, like your story did not matter? And they weren't even listening to what you had to say, or they were marginalizing it. Oh, like you're in pain. Yeah, okay, whatever. You know, here's some drugs, go away. I think everybody has felt that at some point. And the thematic problem we have there is vested in the word relationship. The relationships that we have in healthcare, as well as in other industries, are driven by what's called a dominator model or a dominator approach, wherein if you imagine a triangle, wherein in the healthcare system, quite often we know who sits at the top of the triangle. The MD, you know, as physician, or we can, in my chapter, I describe the, you know, because MD as God complex. That can happen to any one of us, right? Doesn't have to be MD, it can be PhD, it can be DPT, whatever it is, it's a mindset, right? But oftentimes with that mindset comes the real threat and responsibility of power and authority. And as we know, very much so, authority and power can be misused and abused. And what's happened, what's happened in healthcare is the physical therapist, the occupational therapist, the what's called sometimes called allied health, which I have a little bit of, I'm at odds with that term a bit, often end up at the bottom of this triangle in your mind, if you will, where the stakeholders, the people in power and authority make all the decisions, which means that that decision-making power is stripped from the patient and other providers. So that means limited access, which we are struggling with now. That means that physical therapists don't often get to be that stakeholder and that decision maker in major decisions that involve their own expertise. Does that make sense? So PTs often don't get to make the decisions that they should be making with regards to patient care. That limits patients' access, and it limits their ability to be effective as a practitioner. So the suggestion that I make in the book chapter is that we shift our language, and again, I'm very thankful for studying Rhian Eisler's theory on this, is to shift from a dominator model to a partnership model. So if you can imagine breaking down the silos, right, that exist within that triangle, and instead of us working, you know, in vacuums separate from one another, instead, how about if we stand shoulder to shoulder? That way you can imagine the surface area of that triangle spread out would be far bigger, far larger, and our impact to reform healthcare as physical therapists and all of the healthcare providers we work with would be much more powerful.
Sure, absolutely, I agree.
So that's no small task.
Yeah, I mean, no, absolutely not. And I think when we have people within the field who are looking to change how things are viewed, especially by the patient, and it was instilled upon us in PT school, thankfully, I think the view is now changing with that ICF model, that patient-first right. model, and not, as you talked about, that top-down model, that I know more than you do, so I'm just going right. to tell you and reverse that and put the patient first. We've got a chance. It won't happen overnight. You know, it takes a village, but it will eventually start to get, hopefully, better for the patient, because that's who we're there for. That's what we go to school for. And that's what we want to strive for in our practice.
Right. And that means, you know, with all this yoga and healthcare talk that I'm doing and the advocacy work on both sides of the pond, et cetera, and educating healthcare providers, it's to also instill in them the important fact that we cannot just take yoga back into the existing system. The existing system of healthcare, not just in our country, but in many countries, as I've taught in the UK and Ireland, they have some similar struggles to what we do, even with their system.
Sure.
We have to change the system that is broken before we can expect yoga to be a successful, if you want to call it modality of, you know, it's more of a lifestyle way of thinking, but we have to be able to shift the system, which, you know, hashtag healthcare reform, kids walk around saying hashtag all the time. They're little digital natives that they are, right? We have to be able to do that before we can expect to just kind of bring yoga into healthcare, I was mentioning, if that makes sense.
Sure.
So we have to fix both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So every episode that we record, Ginger, is a pint. But before we're done with pints, we do shots.
This is The Parting Shot.
Powered by Optum, Optum offers weekend courses that are Monday morning applicable, utilizing approaches that make sense.
They promote excellence in hands-on treatment, exercise prescription, pain science, and clinical reasoning, offering a COMT,
as well as an APTA-accredited fellowship in orthopedic manual therapy, both online and in-person mentoring, with locations in Houston, Dallas, and Scottsdale, Arizona. Find out more online
at optumfellowship.com.
If you were to leave the audience with one nugget of wisdom going forward as they go back into the practice, maybe how they can incorporate yoga, what's one little piece of advice you would give to the audience?
If we want to fix the healthcare system, if we want to be an integral part of changing the way our patients move from passive to active, we have to put our own oxygen mask on first before we can help others.
I like that. Yeah, the airline analogy. Perfect. All right. You can find her again online at Pro Yoga Therapy. That's on Twitter, gingergarner.com. And the book is out now, Medical Therapeutic Yoga, the Biopsychosocial Rehabilitation and Wellness Care, available right now on Amazon and other locations. Ginger, appreciate your time talking to us today.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Jimmy. Thanks for having me. And, you know, to that end with the oxygen mask comparison is of course, we're talking about self-care, right? So make sure you put your own oxygen mask on, practice self-compassion, practice self-care, get yourself a yoga mat, and go practice breathing. You only need 1 or 2 minutes.
I like it.
And I promise you, it will change your life.
I like it. Ginger Garner, everybody, appreciate you coming out for the PT Pinecast.
Thank you again, Jimmy. Thanks for having me.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast, LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO, Jimmy McKay, and CBO, Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.
Podcasting. It's a great way to reach a huge audience. We're portable, free to download, and can be heard across the planet. Here on the PT Pinecast, we can paint a picture for your company to help spread your message to physical therapists across the world. With our show, we can put pictures into people's minds. Here, let me show you what I mean. Like if I push this button right here, I can take you back to the Jurassic era when T-Rex roamed the Earth. And when I click on this,
I'm behind the wheel of a race car, driving fast and turning left. Shake it back, boys!
We paint pictures with sound and can paint a picture of your company on our show that'll leave an impression. To have us paint for you and spread your message to PTs across the world, contact us online at ptpintcast.com. Let's see what this button does.